Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from Old West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. We hope everybody doing well today. It's been one of those weeks that kind of mixed up weather this week, wasn't it? We did get a few little showers, and we praise the Lord for that. I know I was at a ball game last Friday night and got soaking wet in Wesson. I said, now, if you don't think the Lord don't have a sense of humor, it hadn't rained in 6 weeks. In the first ball game, we get soaking wet. But let me tell you something. I sat under that umbrella praising Jesus, saying thank you for this rain. So we hope you are well this morning. We're just so glad to be with you. But before we get started, let's do go to the Lord in prayer and just ask him to add a blessing upon our time together. Father, we do thank you for the day. We thank you for this opportunity once again to be able to come and to share your word over this radio station. We thank you for those, Lord, that are able to listen to us this morning. Lord, there may be some that we know that are traveling. We pray, Lord, that you give them safe journey to and from. We know there may be others, Lord, that may be sick this morning. We pray for their restored health, that they can soon be back in their church. And then, Lord, we know there are some that are just shut in and not able to go. And so, Lord, we thank you that we can offer this opportunity of your word for them. And so, Lord, we pray for them, that you minister to them there in their homes. Lord, we pray most of all, if there's one that is lost, that they would come to know you today through your precious word. We pray that you will cleanse me of my sin and my unrighteousness, make me a vessel that you can use this morning. I pray that Jesus will be uplifted, and Lord, that your Holy Spirit will go before us, and that Satan will be bound, and he will not distract or steal from us what you have, as we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You know, this morning we're going to read from Galatians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10. And as we think about, I marvel. You know, what things do you marvel at? You know, there are some things that we marvel at in the world that are beautiful or that are good. You know I have traveled around the United States. I hadn't seen a lot of things that I want to see. One of the things that on my bucket list, I've never seen that big hole that they call the Grand Canyon. I want to go see it, but I've known people that told me, you know, when I go see it, it's a big hole. You marvel at it. I've been to the mountain regions. I've been to the east and the west coast, and you know, just some of the things that I've seen, and just seeing the Statue of Liberty, and you marvel at these things. And then there are some things, you know, that are so beautiful that you marvel at them. And I've seen beautiful flowers. I love to watch animals and just see the animals and just the beauty of God's work and creation that he created. And we marvel at those things. And then there's other things that I marvel what people do. Sometimes I marvel at the good things that they do. They do great things and marvelous things, and you just marvel. Sometimes my grandchildren make me marvel at their knowledge and just things that they know at such a young age. I marvel at their abilities to use a phone or a computer, because I am computer illiterate. But, I can get one of them, and boy, they can really use it and show you what to do, because even at a young age, even the smallest one of them knows how. He's 2 and a half, almost 3. Even he can work an iPad. Isn't it amazing? Then I marvel sometimes at the bad things that people do, don't you? I marvel at some of the bad things that are going on. I marvel sometimes at the bad that I see that's happening in our nation, the bad things that are coming out of Washington, the bad things that our president and our leaders are doing, and just the bad ideas, the bad thoughts that they have, the bad laws that they pass. You know, I was at a ball game, like I told you, Friday night, and then I was back at one Monday night in Brookhaven, and I marveled at the bad calling of the referees. Now, you know, I'm not one of those people. I don't fuss about the flags, and I don't fuss about the umpire behind the plate and calling balls and strikes, because, you know, I figure he can see a lot better than I can sitting up in the stand. But when you see blatant disrespect of the rules of the game, and you see the blatant misuse of the power, and just see that, I mean, I marvel at it. How do these people get to be in those positions and allow things? And then, you know, so we marvel at a lot of things, do we not? We marvel at a lot of things in this world today. Well, we see that Paul writes to the church at Galatians, and there's something that he marveled at. And I want us to look at that this morning and kind of talk about it. So let's read the scripture, Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. He says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but of by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, and to the churches at Galatia. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Then listen to this, beginning of verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that troubled you who pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if yet I please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. You know, this morning as we think about what Paul is saying, he begins his letter, as he does all of his letters, with his salutation. He gives them a greeting of who he is, who's writing it. He says, Paul's an apostle, and I love what he said. He said, I'm not one of men, neither by men, but I'm an apostle who? Of Jesus Christ, that God has called me and put me there to be there. And he says, you know, and not only do I greet you, but all the brethren that are with me, and we greet you and all the people there at the church of Greece, at Galatia. And then notice what he does. He reminds them of who Jesus is. He reminds them who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. In verse 4, he says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil of this world, according to the will of God and our Father. So we see here that he says, this is Jesus, you know, who what? Who himself gave himself for our sins, died on the cross for our sins, paid the price for our sins, and who came to deliver us from what? From this present evil world that we live in, to bring us from death to life, to bring us into a new person and to have that new life and to have life more abundantly. And he says he did this all according to the will of God. And so he reminds them of who Jesus is. He reminds them of the gospel that they have heard, the gospel that Jesus is the only way to God. For Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through me. Jesus is that great good news. He is that gospel. So he said, you know, I have come and shared this great gospel with you. I have come and told you of this great gospel. But he says what? But I marvel that you are so soon removed from him. You are so soon removed and called you into the grace of Christ to what? Another gospel. You have left the true gospel and you are so soon removed and now you're trying to follow this other gospel, the gospel of men. He says there's really no other gospel. These are people who have troubled you. They have perverted the gospel of Christ. And he says, if I ever preach another gospel, or even if an angel from heaven comes down and preaches another gospel besides the gospel of Christ, then you stay away from it. These people are to be accursed, and you should stay away from them. Don't receive them, because they are accursed. We are here to follow God and not man. We're here to serve him and not man. So do not go after these other gospels. So, you know, I thought about that. I thought about, you know, we just had revival here a month ago, and we think about revival, and so many times we see how revival can be so short-lived sometimes. And you wonder how those who come to revival make decisions and do things during the revival, and so seems like so many times they so soon seem to be removed from that gospel. They are so soon fall out back into the traps of the world, into the lies of the world, than the people who pervert that gospel and lead people astray. I mean, there's nothing more frustrating to a pastor. There's nothing more frustrating than a man of God that preaches the word Sunday after Sunday and has people come and accept that gospel, and then later on, and sometimes it's real quick, you know, that they turn away from that gospel and they go join some off-the-wall church, or they some go and join some cult somewhere, and you know, you just wonder, well, what happened? How can they soon do that? And we marvel at that. That makes me marvel. This is what Paul says. I marvel. How in the world could you do that? How in the world could that happen? You know, how in the world could that happen? Because of all the things that we marvel about Christ, how could we lose that in so short of a time? So this morning I want us to think about five things about marveling at what we marvel at about Christ and how they marveled at him when he came upon the scene. So how can they soon be removed? The first thing we see that I want us to see this morning is that they marveled at all his miracles. I mean, people marveled at the miracles of Christ. So why would you want to leave that? Number two is they marveled at his words, the words that Jesus spoke. They marveled at those things. We see that they marveled, number three, they marveled at his acceptance, how he accepted all people, that all people were allowed unto that gospel. Number four, they marveled at the faith of other people, how did other people have great faith in him. And then lastly, he tells us, he says, and don't marvel that the world hates you because what? The world hated me. So let's look at these things this morning as we think about our marvel. What do you marvel about? Why are we so quick and so soon can turn away from a Lord and Savior like Jesus Christ that we marveled at everything that he did? Everything that he did proved that he was the Son of God, that he was the Savior. So how can we so soon turn away from that? We ought to marvel at that, aren't we there, Brother Hunter? So let's look and see what he says here. First of all, we said that the people marveled at his miracles. We go over to Mark chapter 5 there, and we begin reading of a story of where there was a Gadarenian demonic person. He was possessed by demons. They were called legions. And you know the story. As Jesus lands there upon the shore, he had been running amongst the tombs. Nobody could bind him. Nobody could hold him in any way. We see that he was just a wild man. He run around naked. And we see when Jesus comes upon the shore, he runs to the boat. And what happens? We know that Jesus relieves him of those demons. Jesus pronounced those demons and commanded those demons to come out of him. They went into a herd of sheep, a herd of pigs, not sheep, excuse me. But they went into a herd of pigs, and we know what happened there. But listen to what it says in verse 20. And he says, Jesus, the demonic person there in Gadara, he wanted to follow Jesus. He said, I want to go with you. I want to follow you. And Jesus says, no, I want you to go, and I want you to go back home and let people look at you and let people talk about you, and you tell them about who did this. And so this is what it said in verse 20 in Mark chapter 5. He says, and he departed and began to publish in all Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. All men, they marveled at the miracles. They marveled at the great works that Jesus did. And you know, brothers and sisters, this was not the first time. This is not the only time. We know Jesus and all the great works that he did, people stood and marveled. Do you think when he called Lazarus out of that tomb, don't you think people marveled at that? I mean, Mary and Martha, they had already written it off, hadn't they? They had already told Jesus, well, if you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. But since you wasn't here, now he's dead and he's gone. And what did he tell them? He said, but you know, your brother can live. And he goes and he calls Lazarus out. All these great things that he did. The feeding of the 5,000. We talked about that not long ago with those two fish and those five loaves. Can you imagine? People marveled at those things. The great work that Jesus did. From that first miracle that he did at the marriage feast and turning the water into wine. I mean, from that time on, people marveled at what Jesus was able to do and how that he healed people, and they marveled at all the miracles. I'm sure they marveled at his ability to know what they were thinking. You know, oftentimes they would be thinking things in their mind and questioning things, and Jesus would answer those things before they ever spoke a word. They marveled at these things. But you know, even that, you go all the way back to Exodus chapter 32 and the people coming out of Egypt, and after they'd seen all the great works that God had done and all the great miracles, and we marvel even at creation, as I said earlier, we marvel at these things. But in Exodus chapter 32, verse 8, it says, Moses, when he saw how that the people had turned away, what did he say? He says, how quickly they have turned aside out of the ways of the commandments that God had commanded them. You know, they had put back the golden calf. Isn't it amazing? I mean, he was gone 40 days up on the mountain. They didn't think he was coming back. What did he say? We're going to go back to the way we were. And Moses just looked, how quickly can you do that? Here we see Paul saying to the church at Galatia, how soon have you been removed? How quickly do you go back? And they marveled because knowing the work of God and knowing the miracles that Jesus did, how could we turn away from him? So I ask you, when we really look at the miracles that Jesus did and the marvelous things that he did, how can we so quick turn away from him? Well, let's look at the second thing. The second thing that they marveled about was the words of Jesus, the words that Jesus spoke. You know, many of them thought that he came to what? To destroy the law. But what did Jesus say? I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. And he almost has what we call the Ten Commandments of the New Testament, you know, because just about every one of the Old Testament Ten Commandments, Jesus went back and he talked about those things. He said, you said don't kill. I say, don't even what? Say racket to your brother. Don't even say you hate your brother. You know, don't commit adultery. But I say, even if you looked upon a woman and lusted after her, that you've committed adultery already. You know, all these things that Jesus did. He talked about this commandment is not a new commandment, but I give you again, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we see that Jesus' words oftentimes were marveled at because of what he said and who he said them to and just the powerful words that he spoke. You know, there was words that he spoke to one man in John chapter 3. This man's name was what? Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, the Bible says. And as he came to Jesus by night, he was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He says, Master, what can I do that I might inherit the kingdom of God? And what did he say? He said, you must be born again in John 3:7. You must be born again. And, you know, Nicodemus, what are you talking about? And Jesus said to him in John 3:7, marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again. You know, we can't marvel at the words of Christ. We can't, we can see the his words, how that they're true, how that they're always come to be because of who he is. He is that word. The Bible says, in beginning was the word was God, it was with God, and by the word what? All things was created. It's how John talks about Jesus and how that he came upon the scene. You know, the rest of them have the nativity scene, but we see that John just goes right on talking about the word was there from the beginning. It was God, it is with God, it is God, and by it all things was created. And we marvel at these wonderful words. You must be born again. Isn't that amazing? What did old Nicodemus say? Well, how in the world can I do that? I'm an old man. Can I enter into my mother's womb? And that's when Jesus said, marvel not that I told you this. Because, see, we marvel at the words of Jesus because the words of Jesus tells us what Jesus is able to do, which causes us to marvel at his miracles because, guess what? We can be born again. No, we're not going to be born of flesh and blood. No, we're not going to go back to be a baby. We're not going to go back in our mother's womb. But what he was talking about was that spiritual birth, that spiritual rebirth that we all must have, that we must be born again. I'll never forget when Jimmy Carter was president. And you know, he was a Southerner peanut farmer. He was a Christian. And he made the statement, you know, I'm a born again Christian. And I'll never forget, I was just a kid, but I'll never forget how the media, you just ran with that. I mean, they just made fun of him and poked fun of him. They marveled that he would even say such a thing. But you know, Jesus is the first one that said it. And he said it to a man who needed salvation. He said it to Nicodemus. And he says it to you, and he says it to me. You must be born again. And when we remember all the words of Jesus, we must not marvel. We must not lose sight of who he is. And this is what we see Paul is telling to the church at Galatia, I marvel how so quickly you removed from him the one, the grace of God. How have you gone after another gospel? Any gospel that tells you you don't have to be born again, you need to stay away from it. Any gospel that don't have the words of salvation through Jesus and only Jesus, he says you need to stay away from them. You need to get away from them because these are the words. These are the words that bring salvation. These are the words that we need. Well, let's look at the third thing. The third thing, not only do we marvel at his miracles and his works, we marvel at his words, and then we marvel at his acceptance. How that Jesus accepted everybody. Isn't that something? How he accepted everyone. We find a story over in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1 and through 40 through verse 27 of that John chapter 4. We see John recording this story of what we call the woman at the well. Now, we know all the story. We see that Jesus is going from one town to the other, and he says, I must needs go through Samaria. And so as he goes through Samaria, why was this such a big deal? Why was this such a big deal? Because what? The Jewish people had no contact. They didn't have any contact with a Samaritan. They would go miles out of the way to go from one place to the other to keep from going through Samaria. They didn't want anything to do with the Samaritans. They thought the Samaritans were heathen and dirty people because they had not kept the bloodline pure. They had intermarried. And so they said, we don't have anything to do with them Samaritans. You stay as far away from them Samaritans as you can. Well, Jesus says what? I must go through Samaria. And what happens? We see that he's there at the well, and he tells the disciples, they go on to try to find some food. And while Jesus is there at the well, here shows up this woman at noonday. She's right by herself, and she comes with her water pot, and she begins to draw the water, and then Jesus looks at her, and what does he say? He says, how about giving me some of that water? And I mean, she liked to faint, didn't she? She liked to faint, and she said, why you talking to me? I mean, you a Jewish man, and you're talking to me, a Samaritan woman? Now, not only was she a Samaritan woman, but she was a woman of a bad reputation, because as Jesus got into the conversation with her and says, well, go bring your husband, and she says, I don't have one, and he says, you're right. Not only do you not have one, you have had five, and you're living with somebody, not even married. So this woman had a bad reputation. She's a Samaritan woman. She was probably the lowest in town. She's coming to draw water at noon. You know, most of the women would get up early and go together, and she's right by herself, and yet Jesus is talking to her. So when the disciples come back and they began to see Jesus talk to her, look what it says in verse 27. And it says, came the disciples and they marveled. And upon this came the disciples and they marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or no one talketh with her. But and so what happened? I mean, they're kind of floored. They marveled at who Jesus would talk to, who he would accept. And you know, that's the way Jesus lived, wasn't it? That's the way he walked this earth. You remember when they brought the woman who had been caught in adultery before him, and everybody else was saying, stone them. They said, this is what the law says, stone them. When Jesus say, okay, you without sin, throw the first rock. And then he says, when he looks up and everybody's gone, he says, woman, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. We see that he touched lepers. I mean, people who were outcasts, who would never even be, touched by anybody because they were so afraid of this dreaded disease, but yet he touched lepers. Can you imagine in his birth, who was the first people? Who was the first people to get the good news? It was a bunch of shepherds, the outcast of society. These shepherds were the one that received the word. So everywhere that we look, from Gentiles, Jew, Greek, Jesus says there is no respect to person with God. There is no difference, male or female. They all are precious in his sight. You remember when the woman comes in and washes his feet with the tears of her eyes and dries them with her hair. And what did Osama say? Well, if he really was a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman that is. She had a bad reputation. But see, Jesus accepts us. And then we are born again. He makes us a new person in Christ, because it is the miracle that he can do of giving us new life, bringing us from life, from death, to life. But he accepts all. All can come to him. All can find that salvation. And we marvel at that. So why would we want to go to another gospel that may preach different? That whosoever doesn't mean whosoever. You know, some churches believe you're not part of their church, you're not going to heaven. You know, my Bible don't teach that. It says, whosoever believes upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So see, brothers and sisters, we got to be careful that we don't get caught up in these perverted gospels. When we think about all the things that Jesus did and how we marvel at what he did, how can we so quickly turn away from him? Well, then look at the fourth thing. So many times we marvel at the faith of others, do we not? How other people have faith in God. Think with me about your life in your church and how long you've been there. Think about the faith that you've seen in some of those older people that are in your church, or maybe some of the younger people that have gone through some horrific things in their lives. I know I've had families after families through the 47 years of pastorate that I've seen who have gone through just one disaster after another disaster. And yet they kept a smile on their face. Yet they kept serving the Lord. They kept praising the Lord. And it made me wonder, how can they continue on? And it's because their faith in Jesus. We find a story in Matthew chapter 8, beginning there in verse 5 through verse 13. It says there was a centurion, and he was a commander of a group of men, and he had one of his men were sick and to the point of death, and so he goes to Jesus, and he asks Jesus to heal this man, and Jesus says, I'll come. And what did he say? He says, you don't have to come. I know you're a busy man. You don't have to come. If you'll just speak the words, I know he will be healed. You don't have to come here. My house, you know, I'm a man that commands people to do things that maybe are not good things being a soldier. And he says, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. My house is not worthy. You just speak the words and I know he can be saved. And what did Jesus say? It says there in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said, That verily I say, I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel. Think about that just a minute. I hadn't seen this kind of faith in Israel, much less anywhere else. And yet you as a centurion have such a great faith that all I have to do is speak. I don't even have to show up. I mean, even Mary and Martha at Lazarus' death, what did we say at the beginning? They said, well, if only you'd have been here. Well, here this man says, you don't even have to come. My house is not worthy. I'm not worthy of you. You just speak the words, Jesus, and we know that my servant can be saved. And guess what? Jesus told him, said, because of your faith and you spoke those words, what happened? His servant was saved at that time, was he not? He was healed of what he had done. Once again, going back to marveling at those miracles, marveling at his word, just speak the word, his acceptance, that even though this is a centurion who feels so unworthy, yet Jesus accepted him. And because of this man's faith that he had in Jesus, Jesus does this great and marvelous and wonderful thing. You know, brothers and sisters, why would we turn to another gospel? Why would we so quick leave this gospel? Why would we not be holding on as hard as we can and cleaving unto the Lord? We talked about that last Sunday night when Barnabas said he went and he taught them, cleave unto the Lord, hold on to the Lord, because don't let him slip out of your mind. There's nothing no better. There's nothing more we can marvel at greater than Jesus. So hold on to him. And then lastly, he says, we need not to marvel that the world hate us. You know, I think a lot of people turn to a different gospel because the world starts hating them. When they start trying to live right for Jesus and they try to start doing right for Jesus, guess what? The old devil's not happy. And he's gonna turn the world on you, and the world's gonna turn on you, and the world's gonna bite you. People who used to be your friends not gonna be your friends. People who used to invite you to the parties not gonna invite you to the parties. And so many times we're so quick to leave that because the world starts beating us up, and the world starts pouring out its iniquity upon us because of who we are. But what did Jesus say? In John chapter 17, verse 14, he says, Lord, I pray for these that are mine, that you have given me. And he said, I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but I want you to protect them in the world, because the world hates them, not because what? Not because they are of the world, but because they're not of the world. The world hates them because it first hated me, because I'm not of the world. I'm from above. They are from above. They have something much better. And the world hates them because they are not of the world. You know, the world hates anybody that are different from them. The world hates anybody that's not like them. And that's the reason in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, he says this, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you, because you have passed from death into life." See, because you have eternal life, because you have something the world cannot give you, because Satan is ruling this world right now, then he's going to hate anybody who has life in Jesus Christ. He hates Jesus, therefore he's going to hate us. So he says, don't marvel at the world hating you. Don't be surprised, because the world will hate you as a Christian. But don't give up on the gospel. Don't give up on all the marvelous things that Christ has done, all of his marvelous miracles and works, all of his words that he has spoken of love and acceptance of all people, all the great faith that we've seen down through the years of all those who have believed in Jesus. Hold on to him. Don't give it up so quick just because the world hates you, because you should expect that, because we're not of this world. We have passed from that death unto life. So this morning, don't give up. Don't so soon be removed from this great gospel that you have received. Don't believe any of these other gospels that's been perverted by the world. Jesus is the only good news. He's the only one that can save you. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for these, Lord, that have listened so attentively. And Lord, I pray if there's any that has been removed from that gospel, that Lord, they'll come back to you, that they'll be revived, that they'll return to you right now, be restored in their fellowship with you. If there's one lost that's following after one of these perverted gospels of the world, help them to understand the real gospel, that it is Jesus himself who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this evil world that we live in, to move us from death to life. Thank you for what you do for us, Lord. Forgive us one of again of our sins. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.